First century, paragraphs 11 through 20. Number 11. Love is deeper than at first it can be thought. It never ceaseth but in endless things. It ever multiplies. Its benefits and its designs are always infinite. Were you not holy, divine, and blessed in enjoying the whole world, I should not care so much to bestow it. But now in this you accomplish the end of your creation, and serve God best, and please him most. I rejoice in giving it, for to enable you to please God is the highest service a man can do you. It is to make you pleasing to the King of heaven, that you may be the darling of his bosom. Number 12. Can you be holy without accomplishing the end for which you are created? Can you be divine unless you be holy? Can you accomplish the end for which you were created unless you be righteous? Can you be righteous unless you be just in rendering to things their due esteem? All things were made to be yours, and you were made to prize them according to their value, which is your office and duty, the end for which you were created, and the means whereby you enjoy. The end for which you were created is that by prizing all that God hath done, you may enjoy yourself and him in blessedness. Number 13. To be holy is so zealously to desire, so vastly to esteem, and so earnestly to endeavor it, that we would not for millions of gold and silver decline nor fail nor mistake in a tittle. For then we please God when we are most like him. We are like him when our minds are in frame. Our minds are in frame when our thoughts are like his. And our thoughts are like his when we have such conceptions of all objects as God hath, and prize all things according to their value. For God doth prize all things rightly, which is a key that opens into the very thoughts of his bosom. It seems arrogant to pretend to the knowledge of his secret thoughts, but how shall we have the mind of God unless we know his thoughts? Or how shall we be led by his divine spirit till we have his mind? His thoughts are hidden, but he hath revealed unto us the hidden things of darkness. By his works and by his attributes we know his thoughts, and by thinking the same are divine and blessed. Number 14. When things are ours in their proper places, nothing is needful but prizing to enjoy them. God therefore hath made it infinitely easy to enjoy by making everything ours, and us able so easily to prize them. Everything is ours that serves us in its place. The sun serves us as much as is possible, and more than we could imagine. The clouds and stars minister unto us. The world surrounds us with beauty. The air refreshes us. The sea revives the earth and us. The earth itself is better than gold, because it produces fruits and flowers, and therefore in the beginning was it made manifest to be mine, because Adam alone was made to enjoy it. By making one and not a multitude, God eventually showed one alone to be the end of the world and every one its enjoyer, for every one may enjoy it as much as he. Number 15. Such endless depths live in the divinity and in the wisdom of God, that as he maketh one, so he maketh every one the end of the world, and the supernumerary persons being enrichers of his inheritance. Adam and the world are both mine, and the posterity of Adam enrich it infinitely. Souls are God's jewels, every one of which is worth many worlds. They are his riches, because his image, and mine for that reason, so that I alone am the end of the world, angels and men being all mine. And if others are so, they are made to enjoy it for my further advancement, God only being the giver, and I the receiver. So that Seneca philosophized rightly when he said, God gave me alone to all the world, and all the world to me alone. Number 16. That all the world is yours, your very senses and the inclinations of your mind declare. The works of God manifest, his laws testify, and his word both prove it. His attributes most sweetly make it evident, so that in the midst of such rich demonstrations, you may infinitely delight in God as your father, friend, and benefactor, in yourself as his heir, child, and bride, in the whole world as the gift and token of his love. Neither can anything but ignorance destroy your joys, for if you know yourself, or God, or the world, you must of necessity enjoy it. Number 17, to know God is life eternal. There must therefore some exceeding great thing be always attained in the knowledge of him. To know God is to know goodness. It is to see the beauty of infinite love, to see it attended with almighty power and eternal wisdom, and using both those in the magnifying of its object. It is to see the King of heaven and earth take infinite delight in giving. Whatever knowledge else you have of God, it is but superstition, which Plutarch rightly defines, to be an ignorant dread of his divine power without any joy in his goodness. He is not an object of terror, but delight. To know him, therefore, as he is to frame the most beautiful idea in all worlds. He delighteth in our happiness more than we, and is of all other the most lovely object, an infinite Lord, who, having all riches, honors, and pleasures in his own hand, is infinitely willing to give them unto me, which is the fairest idea that can be devised. Number 18. The world is not this cottage of heaven and earth. Though this be fair, it is too small a gift. When God made the world, he made the heavens, and the heavens of heavens, and the angels, and the celestial powers. These also are parts of the world. So are all those infinite and eternal treasures that are to abide for ever, after the day of judgment. Neither are these, some here and some there, but all everywhere, and at once to be enjoyed. The world is unknown, till the value and glory of it is seen, till the beauty and the serviceableness of its parts is considered. When you enter into it, it is an unlimited field of variety and beauty, where you may lose yourself in the multitude of wonders and delights. But it is an happy loss to lose oneself in admiration at one's own felicity, and to find God in exchange for oneself, which we then do when we see him in his gifts and adore his glory. Number 19. You never know yourself till you know more than your body. The image of God was not seated in the features of your face, but in the lineaments of your soul, in the knowledge of your powers, inclinations, and principles. The knowledge of yourself chiefly consisteth, which are so great that even to the most learned of men their greatness is incredible, and so divine that they are infinite in value. Alas, the world is but a little center in the comparison of you. Suppose it millions of miles from the earth to the heavens, and millions of millions above the stars, both here and over the heads of our antipodes. It is surrounded with infinite and eternal space, and like a gentleman's house, to one that is traveling, it is a long time before you come unto it. You pass it in an instant and leave it forever. The omnipresence and eternity of God are your fellows and companions, and all that is in them ought to be made your familiar treasures. Your understanding comprehends the world like the dust of a balance, measures heaven with a span, and esteems 1,000 years but as 1 day, so that great, endless, eternal delights are only fit to be its enjoyments. Number 20. The laws of God, which are the commentaries of his works, show them to be yours, because they teach you to love God with all your soul and with all your might, whom if you love with all the endless powers of your soul, you will love him in himself, and in his attributes, in his counsels, in all his works, in all his ways, and in every kind of thing wherein he appeareth. You will prize him, you will honor him, you will delight in him, you will ever desire to be with him and to please him. For to love him includeth all this. You will feed with pleasure upon everything that is his, so that the world shall be a grand jewel of delight unto you, a very paradise and the gate of heaven. It is indeed the beautiful frontpiece of eternity, the temple of God, the palace of his children. The laws of God discover all that is therein to be created for your sake, for they command you to love all that is good. And when you see well, you enjoy what you love. They apply the endless powers of your soul to all objects, and by 10,000 methods make everything to serve you. They command you to love all angels and men. They command all angels and men to love you. When you love them, they are your treasures. When they love you, to your great advantage, you are theirs. All things serve you for serving them whom you love and of whom you are beloved. The entrance of his words giveth light to the simple. You are magnified among angels and men, enriched by them and happy in them.